ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Brought to you by Zadda Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Belvieu, Houston. Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We'll have our eyes on the U.S. men's national team live from Qatar at 3:05, whenever they get it kicked off in Qatar. Justin Verlander is going to – he's a free agent. Yeah, he's free. He's free. He's free to sign with anybody that he wants. Ken Rosenthal says the Mets could be interested. I didn't realize DeGrom was 34, 35 years old, by the way.
I didn't realize he was
up there that age. Like I was reading that this morning. I was like, I didn't realize he was in his mid-30s. But the Mets...
He's an injury waiting to happen.
Yeah, so maybe Verlander is too. Who knows? The Dodgers apparently kicking the tires. The Yankees kicking the tires. The Astros kicking the tires. Look, those were the usual suspects, we thought, right?
See what you did there.
The Astros, the Dodgers, the Mets, the Yankees, maybe a wild card team. Look, I think it's very obvious how Jim Crane is treating this, which Justin Verlander told MLB Network when he won the Cy Young, that he has not talked to Jim Crane since the last time he talked to him.
Well, that spells it out.
He told the media that he's not talked to Jim Crane since the last time he talked to him.
I would hope that Jim Crane talked to him the day after they won the World Series, like he told Mark Berman he was going to talk to him the day after. Because, you know, he pointed out that they're tight. They talk. And
maybe there was a more recent time that he talked to him.
See where he's
maybe
at.
That was the least recent time that he talked to him. I haven't talked to Brendan since the last time I talked to him, Blankers. I haven't talked to you last time I talked to you.
Yeah.
Anyways, I think it's very clear how Crane is handling this. I think it's exactly how they handled it last year. Justin, we want you back. Go test the market. Tell us what the high contract is. Come back to us, and I'll tell you if I match it or not. I think it's abundantly clear.
This is a very popular tactic, whether you're best friends with the owner or not, that Daryl Morey used to do all the time. If you remember the Clint Capela deal.
Oh, yeah.
Clint Capela and his agent kept saying he was a max player, and they basically said, hey, we love you, Clint. Go out and show us where you're going to get a max offer, and we'll talk. And he never got a max offer. And, you know, and then he was upset that the Rockets wouldn't have his back and give him a max contract. And Daryl was, you know, savvy enough to basically say, look, if you can find me a team or two. And I was thinking about this morning, and I was talking over to at the gym with a buddy of mine that's a Yankee fan that couldn't believe that Judge got this massive offer. And I said, I don't understand how so many teams are basically wrapping up so much money. Like, if the Mets let DeGrom get away, they'd rather have Verlander. But if he wants Scherzer-type money and you already have Scherzer on your roster at 43, and you go at least in that ballpark or more with Verlander, each guy's pitching every fifth day, and you're wrapping up $88 million in salary. That's ridiculous.
And for bodies that are kind of alike, you know, power righties that are old and that have had some injuries over the years. Scherzer
struggled all last year with injuries.
It's like people that talk about Verlander, and we want to ask you this question, 713-780-ESPN, if Justin Verlander does indeed leave, which I would still have the Astros as the betting favorite to land Justin Verlander. I haven't looked up the odds.
High?
I think that they're the betting favorite, but I would say it's less than 50%.
Last I saw, they were fourth or fifth.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I was going to say, I would think, like, if I'm handicapping it, or at least like my prediction, I would have Astros higher than anybody else, but I would have them less than a 50% chance to land them, if that makes any sense. Like, they wouldn't be the majority chance, but they would have more of a chance than any other team. That's Branham handicapping, which I guess we just learned is flawed.
I think the other thing would be at what price. Right? Because
I think
winning is so important to his end game in terms of where he finishes in terms of the history of baseball, too. He's got to go to a winner. But it seems like the majority of the teams involved, the Phillies are throwing their hat in the ring, so to speak. They want to be in on it. But even if the Phillies, who had the Cinderella story of last season, and they have a good roster, but if the Phillies are involved along with the Dodgers, Mets, Yankees-type teams, and the Astros, well, then he gets what he wants. He's going to play for a winner. Now I'm really comfortable, and I like the fact that we can relax and be ourselves in Houston as opposed to all the attention we would get in a major market like L.A. or New York. What's that worth to you? Are you willing to take less to be a part of a winner for more, a team that you personally called a dynasty? And I don't think so. I think at the end of the day, he does a great job of playing the media. But the important thing is to Justin Verlander is Justin Verlander. His stats, his all-time rankings, and his money. And he knows this is his last chance to cash in on a monster deal. He earned it with a Cy Young last year. He's going to go out and get the top dollar.
I don't blame him either. Like, if I'm in his shoes, I might take pretty close to top dollar. Like, I would go find the best deal. I would tell Jim Crane this is what it is, and I hope that you match it because I really want to play for you. I would handle it that exact same way.
And you know what,
way.
Jeremy? Here's the thing.
JB, same dude, pretty
the
much.
The way most, without question, the easiest way to break this down for most players is if you're at this point in your career and you can pick anywhere you want to go, if you haven't won a ring yet, then there's a factor that's going to mean a lot. Because to your legacy, you want to walk out saying, I won one. I know what it feels like. I got a ring. Check that off the box. See Patrick Ewing and Charles Barkley and all the guys that as great as of a careers as they've had, they get criticized for that one thing. So if you're late in your career and you can pick anywhere, you're probably, if you haven't won one yet, that's going to factor in. But because he's won two and he's done, and there's some things he still has left to do, winning and money are going to be the top two things because he's already been there, done that on the World Series thing.
The funny thing to me is always like, oh, yeah, he's going to repeat what he just did this past year. I mean, that'd be great if he does. But if you just look at the last 3 years, he hasn't finished two of the last 3 years. He's pitching one game prior to this season. But if he does leave, what is the worst landing spot for Justin Verlander as an Astro fan? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. I would start by saying, Blankers, I would get rid of half of the equation. I don't want him to be in the American League. If he goes to the National League, that's fine. Now, there's some teams in the National League we can talk about, but I do not want Justin Verlander in the American League if he leaves the Houston Astros.
I totally agree with that. And obviously, you wouldn't. The first place you start with is the Yankees because you're tired of seeing, though you've still had the upper hand and you've still been their daddy, you get tired of seeing the Yankees get better by taking your players. And you'd have to see him a lot. You'd probably have to see him in big games. And you know it would amp up everything even more. And so I would say New York is the first destination I could do without. New York, Yankees. I don't mind if he goes to the National League, like you said. I don't mind if he goes to the Mets. That's fine. Because then they got to get there first. But I don't want to see him as regularly as you would see him. And probably in a big game scenario in a Yankees uniform.
Yeah, that to me is probably the top one. That's the one landing spot where I would not want Justin Verlander over all of the others. I've seen some people on Twitter and things like that say the Dodgers. Like, the Dodgers are probably pretty high on that list, but there's probably, let's say, two or three American League teams I'd rather not see him on either. Like, I don't want to see him at the Yankees because the Yankees, very likely, you're looking at an ALCS series. I want to like Justin Verlander, you know? Like, even if it's a World Series matchup, like, okay, it's a World Series. Like, I can still like Justin Verlander even if he's pitching against the Astros in the World Series. But an ALCS with the hated Yankees, I'm going to dislike Justin Verlander. I want to be in a position where I like Justin Verlander. So I don't want him to end up with the Yankees. I don't think the Rangers are a threat, one, to sign him, two, to be competitive. Even if they do sign him, but I don't want him to go the Nolan Ryan route. Like, I don't want him to be a Texas Ranger after he had some of the best years of his career with the Houston Astros. So I put both of those teams ahead of the Dodgers. I might even put the Angels ahead of the Dodgers. Maybe even the Mariners, just because I don't want to see him in the division and see him five times a year.
If he goes to the Angels, he's guaranteed to break down, right?
Because of the Angel halo effect.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I see what you did there.
Yeah. I just don't want to see him in the division. I don't want to see him in the league. I don't want to face him in an ALCS. Not because I'm, like, terrified of facing Justin Verlander in the playoffs. I just want to like Justin Verlander. So there's three or four American League teams that I'd rather he not end up on, even before the Dodgers. Now, in the National League, the Dodgers are at the top of the list. Of all the National League teams, I do not want him to be a Los Angeles Dodger because, again, the like factor. Like, if he goes to L.A., it's going to be very hard to like Justin Verlander. If he goes to the Mets, cool. I'll root for Justin Verlander. If he goes to the Cubs, cool. I'll root for Justin Verlander. The Dodgers, the Yankees, and pretty much every American League West team, I do not want to see employ Justin Verlander.
I'm with you. Look, I think that in looking at it, to me, I can live with all the National League teams, no matter how good they are, even the Dodgers, because of the fact that the Dodgers have proven one thing. They are the absolute masters of the regular season. And when it comes to the playoffs, it's a totally different story where you probably aren't going to see Justin Verlander. True. So my bigger concerns would be either rivals like the Yankees or up-and-comers that are trying to keep up with you and get where you're at, which would be, you know, teams like the Mariners, teams like the Blue Jays, you know, teams that are coming up that could be very much benefiting from a Justin Verlander, putting him on a level that you don't need to see right now while you're in your heyday of your run.
Is there any small part of you guys that goes, if he goes to the NL and we run into him in the World Series, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because of his World Series struggles.
Except for the Dodgers. The Dodgers are the only team in that conversation I would say no to. If it's the Mets, Astros, Mets, Verlander on the mound, that's pretty cool. That's a cool story. Now I'm going to hope he loses that game.
Well, I mean, based on his World Series record, I'm going to look forward to a World Series matchup.
Is there a part of you that goes like, I like this?
Oh, from like, oh, we get a... Eh, not really.
I kind of lean no as well, but I think it's a question to be asked.
Yeah, not really for me. Not really for me. But there's only like if there's only one team in the National League that if he went to, that I wouldn't be pulling for him to reach the World Series. Like any other national team he went to, unless Carlos Correa goes to another National League team, I would be pulling for those guys and for those teams to have success. If it's the Dodgers, I can't do that. 713-780 ESPN.
You know, if you see him in a World Series game, you're only going to see him for about five innings. So, I mean, there's four more innings that you can, you know, excel to.
I
know.
I mean, I get it, but his last start only gave up one run in that five innings. Let's
Pete
go out.
Davidson plays for the team. USA Soccer.
Is this what we're going to do the entire World Cup? You're just going to have World Cup lookalikes?
I'm not a soccer expert. I admit it.
Who is Christian Pulisic? What is his Doppelganger? Well, who does he look like?
It depends on if he has the frosted tips or not.
Let's go out to the HRMP listener line, get Luke in here. Luke, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Luke?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey!
Okay, so I want to talk about Justin Verlander. So I am a 20-year-old kid, right? I have grown up in Houston, and I am the younger part of this crowd, right? Okay. I mean, I grew up sitting at the lunch table talking about the Astros, and we were working on making a run. And then when we finally did, I mean, I'd never experienced anything like it. I wasn't around for the 94 Rockets, right? I mean, you know, it was brand new. And when I tell you that if Justin Verlander goes to the Dodgers, I will have a 3-year-old level fit. I mean, oh my gosh. Because the thing is, like, I'm in college now, and all I hear about is cheating, right? And, of course, we in Houston, we're fine with it, right? I mean, like, we realized that everyone was doing it and yada, yada, yada. But every single time I wear my Astros jersey, going to my accounting class, all I hear about is the cheating. And the guys who were saying it the most were the Dodgers and the Dodgers fans. And I swear to God, if he goes to the Dodgers and then all of a sudden it was okay, right, even though he wasn't cheating, he was a pitcher, yada, yada, whatever, he's still on the team. If he goes to the Dodgers... I mean, it's just the hypocrisy.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's comparable.
Yeah. Appreciate the call, Luke. I'm right there with you. The Dodgers are the one team in the National League at the top of the list where I do not want Justin Verlander there. Now, I'd rather him end up with the Dodgers as opposed to the Yankees, maybe even the Dodgers over the Rangers, Mariners. But of the NL teams, the Dodgers at the top of the list. Luke, I think, is 20 going on 40, by the way. Sound like a 40-year-old man.
Oh, my God. I think there were some things the way that, he's still younger.
I wonder what college he goes to. Hopefully, U of H. Go Cougs. 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776.
Are there a lot of Dodgers fans there?
At U of H? I know a few. It's a very diverse campus. One of the most diverse campuses in the entire country. It's one of the great things that makes University of Houston so good. Who do you not want to see Justin Verlander leave for? What's the worst team at the top of your list? Also, what's the plan if the Astros miss out on Jose Abreu? It looks like Jose Abreu at the top of the Astros list, the first base position. What if they miss out on Jose Abreu, though? 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN
92.5. Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. People were asking us about Cody Bellinger. We just said, what's the plan if the Astros miss out on Jose Abreu? Which, by the way, I was looking at Abreu's splits today, because this is what I do when I'm bored. I look at baseball players' splits. Yeah, I'm that guy.
You're a deep-diving numbers guy.
Jose Abreu... at home and on the road this year were two different players. Like, he was unbelievable on the road. He was pretty mediocre at home.
So which, what does that say?
That says I really want him. Like, get him out of the cold weather Chicago, get him into a warm city with a retractable roof, and let that dude shine. The last time I felt this strongly about a player...
Trey Mancini.
Was Trey Mancini.
I was going to say, why am I reliving and having bad memories of how you talked me into and I got full board vice presidency of the Trey Mancini fan club, and then he let me down? Yeah,
Trey Mancini, as Todd the show calls
goodness,
him.
That's
did you look at his
spot on.
By month splits?
I did, yeah. It was very bad out of the gate. and then he started to heat up in May. June, July was elite.
He started
to fade a little bit in August and September.
Because it's not like it's freezing in Chicago most of the baseball season. Like, most of the country's pretty warm in baseball season.
But because we're starting earlier now, the first month and a half of Chicago,
sure,
it's not ideal.
And that's why I asked if you looked at the month-by-month split.
June, July, dude's like an MVP candidate.
So it sounds like there might be something to the
Maybe there is something to that. Because then again, late in the year, remember the White Sox-Astros playoff series when it was like flurries.
Get him in Texas. Get him with a retractable roof. Let that dude shine. Dusty Baker talks about this all the time, which I think is like low-key racism, if I'm being completely honest. Like, I think that if it wasn't Dusty Baker saying it, might get canceled. He talks all the time about how Latinos fare better in warm weather. He says they do not play good in cold weather. They play good in warm weather. That is Dusty Baker saying that, not me.
Wow. That is...
Low-key racism. Am I wrong?
That's always a strong take.
But he's not... I mean... maybe not wrong. 713-780 ESPN. Is that low key racism from Dusty Baker?
How much competition do you think they would have for him? How many teams?
I think there's a lot.
Who do you think's looking at him?
Well, according to Morosi, the Padres are pretty hot and heavy for Abreu. Which, by the way, San Diego not a bad spot. All of it.
My goodness. I mean, they wrapped up Tatis Jr. They're going to try, but
Tatis isn't a high AAV, though. You know what I mean?
Manny Machado's making what, $300 million,
but over what, 10 years? So like the AAV's not. I mean, it's high, but
you got him. You got those two. You got Soto that they're going to. They said they want to try and keep. I mean, they went out and traded everybody to get veterans. You know, that former Cy Young winners, Snell and Clevenger, and you know, they're paying money all over the place. Hugh Darvish. At a certain point, when are they reaching their threshold of what they can do?
Some people just pay. I mean, look at Cohen with the Mets. Cohen with the Mets is like, there's not going to be a luxury tax for us. We're going to have the Cohen tax. So, like, some owners willing to spend. Now, some of the Padres' money, I think, is more like they're committed to a ton of money, whereas the AAV is still somewhat reasonable. And they're also kind of stars and scrubby, right? Like, they have a lot of really good players, but then the rest of their players are, like, you know, very low-dollar deals. So I really want Jose Abreu. He's been my top first base free agent target the entire time. I know Rizzo was like a popular name for a second because the agent of Rizzo played Ken Rosenthal. And I think Rizzo and Abreu, I think that the difference there is marginal. But Abreu doesn't come with a second-round draft pick, compensation pick, doesn't come with a loss of international money. So that's why I favored Abreu over Rizzo. But if the Astros miss out on Jose Abreu, if what Morosi is saying about how Jose Abreu is a top priority for the Astros, but also for the San Diego Padres, if Abreu chooses the Padres over you, what's plan B for the Houston Astros at first base?
Trey Mancini.
See, there's other names on this list I would pick before Mancini. I think most of the city has ruled out Trey Mancini. I kind of ruled it out as well. I think they would go Yuli before Mancini.
I think, again, we go back to the Janet Jackson philosophy of sports, but it's what have you done for me lately? It was a great pickup when they got him. They were expecting big things. He started out literally with a bang and was hitting home runs and making people like us look very smart for saying that he was going to excel at Minute Maid, and then he fell off the planet. And so that's the last thing that people remember, and that's why probably they don't want him back. On the flip side with Yuli, no matter how much he struggled through a regular season, when he found it in the playoffs and he came up big for you, now everybody says that's the last thing I remember. You got to have that guy back, forgetting his age and the fact that he had so many problems for 162 games.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, you juggle all that and say more people would obviously want Yuli back than to bring back Mancini. But at the right price, Mancini, if you give him a full year and you let him settle in and you're comfortable and he knows what his playing time is going to be, I think he's a fully capable major league hitter.
There's a little part of me that thinks that he would have success if he's brought back to the Houston Astros. And then the other part of me saying, oh, you fool, that's just because you thought that at the trade deadline. So
you're not wrong.
I would be like, I'm all right with Mancini, but like Josh Bell would be higher on that list for me. Josh Bell, you know, the fact that he's a switch hitter, we talked about him a lot at the deadline. He was just as bad as Mancini in San Diego, right? As Mancini was in Houston. He's younger than Abreu. I think he's in his early 30s. Switch hitter.
Josh Bell's not younger than Mancini?
They're probably about the same age, or off the top of my bald head. I think they're about the same age. I like Josh Bell more than Mancini. Josh Bell would be my plan B after Jose Abreu, and it's a pretty clear gap to me. I think after that is where you have, like, I think they would go Yuli over Mancini, and the fact that the Astros were so quick to turn down the mutual option for $10 million for 1 year kind of tells me a little bit how they feel about Mancini. I think they've given that up. I don't think it's really plausible. Some people are texting us. This guy's a stand. 6-0-3-0 for Cody Bellinger. Sign Bellinger, center field, first first base player. He will not be the he will not top the year he just had. Or he's talking about Verlander. But he said sign Bellinger, add another big batter and arm. I've heard people talk about Bellinger. Like people on Twitter and people that host Astros podcast have like brought up the topic. I heard the Wheelhouse talking about this the other day when there was the Dodgers perhaps not tendering at the time Cody Bellinger. Then they let it know that they were not going to tender Cody Bellinger, and he's free. Cody Bellinger's a free agent. Cody Bellinger has not been a very good baseball player since the Dodgers stopped stealing signs back in 2019. He won the MVP when the Dodgers were stealing signs. Josh Reddick tells you this, by the way. He's the one that tells you that the Dodgers were stealing signs back in the day. Since 2019, he's been lousy. He's been a terrible Major League Baseball player. He hit 239 in 20. 2021, he was a 165 hitter with a 542 OPS. Last year, he was a 210 hitter with a 654 OPS. Add up all those 3 years since the Dodgers stopped cheating, and since Cody Bellinger won the MVP, allegedly, Cody Bellinger, 203 batting average, 648 OPS. Why in the world would you want Cody Bellinger with the Houston Astros? And that's before you even have the conversation of what he said to a microphone.
I was going
to say, he's lousy.
You can say that that was the where he fell off. I was going to say the minute that he decided that he had a big enough stones to go at Correa, to go at the Astros, to talk crap, have Correa put him in his place, and then literally he put him in his place so well that he fell off the planet in terms of his baseball skills. And to watch him and to live the life and try and be the guy in L.A., trying to be the big mouth, big talking superstar. Well, the one thing you forgot is to be a superstar, you got to be good. And you haven't been good in quite a while. So your team is so loyal to you and believes and loves all the things that you did and said for them that they basically just said, you're not needed anymore. We don't even have to trade you. Just walk by. See you later. Bye-bye. And now you're left to go find a new team. The last place Cody Bellinger should be for either side is to be here. They don't need him. He doesn't need the Houston Astros. Just go find a team and go play nice somewhere else. You know, join the Orioles and see if they can, you can resurrect your career with all those young guys. Or, you know, join a team that's trying to, you know, get make a name and a splash in a small market that doesn't want to pay a whole lot.
That's where he needs to go. He needs to go somewhere where there's literally no pressure. They don't care if they win and tries to find
Detroit.
His game. Yeah. Yeah, that's not a bad spot.
Yeah, just go to Detroit, only it's cold.
713-780-ESPN. People are sending us in some of their first base options and some comments about if Dusty Baker, what he said about Latinos, was low-key racist. 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. Astros want Abreu, but if they miss out on Abreu, what's the plan after that? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
All right, before we go to the break, tell you about the good people at Fitch Roofing. If you need something done with your roof, you got a leaky roof, you want to put a whole new roof on your commercial establishment, your business, your house, you need someone that can get the job done right the first time. It's going to take care of you every step of the way. Use the best products in the business like CertainTeed Shingles. Or maybe you're just worried about getting your house storm ready for the winter season. After surviving hurricane season, you know that when Houston gets a storm, sometimes it can literally knock your roof off. And you don't want to damage your property or your structure. You want to make sure you're prepared before any kind of bad weather hits. That's why you go to Fitz as well. And the best thing about Fitz Roofing is, aside from having the best warranties and the best ratings, and like I said, using the best products, they do free no obligation inspections where they come to you and tell you what they can do or tell you what the state of your roof is. Without it costing you anything, all you got to do is contact them. 832-521-3001. Fitz Roofing comes to you to tell you what they can do. Other than that, they're going to go on with the rest of their day. But if you want them to come back and do the actual work that you talked about with them, just call them back up. Set the appointment before, during, and after the sale. The best customer service. They're going to take care of you every step of the way. I love these people. They do great work for me. They've done it multiple times. They put a new fence in my yard, as a matter of fact, a couple of months ago, and it looks fantastic, and it ups the curb appeal and the value of my property. They can do that for you from home repairs, fences, and all the things they do from roofing. There's only one place you could call. Check out all their services at fitzroofing.com and call them for the free no obligation inspection. 832-521-3001. Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
ESPN 97.5 is your home for Texas A&M Athletics. Catch all the football and basketball action right here as the Aggies make their way through the SEC. Only on ESPN 97.5. Giga Mags. Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
For some reason, a lot of people are trying to make a case for Cody Bellinger in Houston.
What? Like, what are we doing what? Here?
We're
like,
not this the is... Yankees. We don't like, if you can't beat them, join them. We don't go and take the guys from the teams that beat the hell out of us and think that's a good thing. You're too good of a team to even think about Cody Bellinger when you think about all the guys that are going to consider playing for you because of this longstanding winning you've been doing and the way that you go about your business. I think that that's ridiculous, and I think it's very short-sighted to think, well, Cody Bellinger's a guy we could use. You forget all the different things that pissed you off about Cody Bellinger, the Dodger, and suddenly that's a good idea? Come on.
2662 says, I'd rather eat glass than sign Bellinger.
That's phenomenal.
And if you eat it, it's got to come out.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's a pain in the ass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It is. I don't understand what we're doing. Like, it's a popular name, and anytime there's a popular name, they're like, okay, let's get popular name. Dude, like, there's two reasons why it's a hard no. Two reasons why it's a hard no for Cody Bellinger. One, he's public enemy number one in Houston.
He's a huge a-hole to the Astros in Houston and everybody involved in the team.
When his team was doing it, according to Josh Reddick. And secondly, he's a terrible baseball player. He's been lousy the last 3 years. Like, you think he's all of a sudden? What is more likely? That Cody Bellinger finds his form of 2019, or that he's going to be the same player he's been the last 3 years? What is more likely? That he's the dude from 4 years ago, or he's the dude from the last three seasons? Obviously, it's the dude from the last three seasons. He's been lousy at baseball. He's been lousy as an offensive player. It makes zero sense for the Astros to kick the tires on Cody Bellinger.
And there's so many better options. Depending on what you want to spend and what you're looking for, there are other options for you before you even get to Cody Bellinger. You'd obviously rather have Uncle Mike than you would have Cody Bellinger. Mm-hmm. So that right there is one right under your own roof for the last couple of years that you know exactly. You just have to make sure the shoulder's okay. And you could get Uncle Mike, and he's a way better hitter and a better player and a better locker room guy than Cody Bellinger. Mm-hmm. And you're fine. You want to go on the high end? You got Nimmo. You want to go to other guys? There's plenty of other guys that you consider for that. And I don't even consider him. He's just more of a center fielder than a left fielder. So yeah, there's other guys you can consider for the position.
I'm kind of out on Nimmo now, just because I think the price is going
up. I think there's one guy whose market is definitely going up.
Yeah, his market. I think he's being priced out of the Astros. But I think this is like what we see in sports a lot of times, that you see a really popular name. You're kind of unfamiliar with his recent success or lack of success, and you start to make a case for said popular player on your team. And he's kind of unpopular in Houston. 6927, I'd rather castrate myself with a spoon than sign that D. Bellinger. How would you feel if the Astros signed Bellinger? 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776.
Plus, get him some coffee and some five-hour energy. The dude looks like he's always half asleep.
Does
he's
he?
Got like Garfield's eyes. I mean, the Garfield the cat, by the way. Just yeah, I just everything.
As opposed to who?
I look at him and I just look like, hey, wake up.
The president?
In more ways than one. Just wake up.
4683. I mean, I see what Blankers is saying, but I'd take Judge if he wanted to come to Houston for the next 5 years. Judge is a different story.
Yeah.
Judge was not play. And Judge was not as nearly as hard on the Astros as Bellinger was. Did he have some negative comments about the Astros? He did. But Judge is also the reigning MVP.
You don't need him either.
He's also the all-time seventh leading homer in a single season champion, because everybody wanted to champion Aaron Judge's seasons. 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. What would you do if Cody Bellinger was an Astro? 5619, nope on Cody Bellinger. Is it just me, or there have been many more serial killers in throughout history that was previously reported? I don't know why Cody Bellinger has anything to do with serial killing, but you went there, 5619, for whatever reason.
Happy Thanksgiving.
6030, Dusty isn't wrong. I used to play minor league ball, and in Florida midsummer, the Latin players would sit in their hotel room with the window open and AC off. They really just don't enjoy any cool weather. I believe it. I'll be honest with you.
It's just a very slippery slope.
It is a slippery slope, and I think it's low-key racist. But Dusty can say whatever he wants to say because he's a World Series winning manager. He's won, you know, top 10 most games in baseball history, and we all love Dusty. And Dusty, we trusty. And in this case, in Dusty, I do trusty. I believe for him to be true. I'm just not going to sit here behind a microphone and tell you that Latin players are only good when it's hot. And I'm half Latin.
Yeah.
I feel like I can show up whenever it's cool.
That's a bit much, and you're right. I think that,
but I do believe him.
I mean, I think there's a theory there that seems like there's some logic to it, but I'm not going there.
Yeah. Brandon T suggests, how about Christian Walker? Walker's okay. He would come via trade. He's under club control for the next few years. Walker's just all right. Like, mm-hmm. Walker's okay. I'd rather have Josh Bell. I'd rather have Trey Mancini. Andrew Carlson just lost his mind.
Is that who it is? Andrew, out there?
I walked out to use the to get some coffee earlier, and Andrew Carlson is wearing his U.S. men's national team kit. That's what they call uniforms in soccer.
Medium?
I didn't get a good look.
He likes the Snuggie Bear. He and Paul Gallant like to wear those kid-sized jerseys for Rockets, too.
I mean this sincerely.
Yeah, they just scored a goal.
I got a little bit scared initially when I heard how, loud and emotional and I thought something bad was happening.
I thought somebody really wanted Christian Walker.
I thought something might have happened outside, and then I realized simultaneously as I looked up at the monitor, oh, the United States scored, and Andrew Carlson, who is the utmost professional that would never think about disturbing another radio show other than his own, went out and just had a complete...
I was saying mediocre things about Christian Walker, saying he was mediocre, and now I hear Andrew Carlson losing his mind. Maybe it's a distant cousin.
Let's go is when I recognized him. Oh, I know what happened.
Yeah, the U.S. men's national team lead 1-0 in the 37th minute.
It's a chick dressed like Wonder Woman celebrating profusely. Congratulations to her and whoever's hugging her right now.
The serial killer guy is back. He said 4-6-8. Cody Bellinger is the Zodiac. 1-5-3-8. I take Puig over Bellinger. At least Puig doesn't commit any sort of crimes or anything like that, right? He only lies to the FBI.
And licks bats.
What's wrong with licking bats?
Anyway.
What's wrong? For real, what's wrong with licking bats? Moises Alou did far worse than that, love a Moises Alou clone with the Houston Astros.
Okay.
If licking bats is what it takes to get you going, it does. They're durable. 5-8-1-6, trade for Yandy Diaz, move to first base. And that's, you know what I thought, too? Here's an option that we haven't discussed a lot, and I suggested this at the trade deadline and took some heat over it. Wilson Contreras. Wilson Contreras is athletic enough to be mediocre as a catcher. He's athletic enough to play left field. Yeah, his bat's not really
I'm not saying him be the answer at first base. I'm saying catchers can make the transition to first base.
And he's played left field, Contreras has. I'm not so sure. We've heard rumors that the Astros are in a Wilson Contreras. I'm not so sure that's not to play first base. Because if they're not going to get Jose Abreu, if they don't get Josh Bell, Yuli Gurriel, we think even if they bring him back, it's probably as a utility guy. Look, Wilson Contreras hasn't played a lot. He's also played some first base. Now, it's not very many. I think it's in the teens. But that's a position where spring training, you play left field, you think that he's athletic enough to play the position at first base. I'm not sold that Wilson Contreras isn't being looked at by the Astros to not be their first baseman. I think it's possible.
I think that a lot of things are under consideration. I think the more that we're getting into this and seeing guys sign, the more it looks like Yuli Gurriel might be more than just a utility guy, and I don't know if that's the best option for the Astros, but if you do want bat first, then you can go with a guy like Contreras and you can work with him. He's not going to play winter ball, and you're going to have to work with him, and Joe Espada is going to have to earn his keep getting him ready. But it shows you that offense is more important than defense, because I think the one thing where you will find that there will be a big difference is going to be from the defensive side of what Yuli was able to do. The fact that it's one thing to say it's an underrated skill, but I think it's underappreciated how well Yuli did digging out everything thrown his way, and that you're going to have to just accept the fact that there's not going to be a lot of those great plays made that turn into outs because of the dig and the stretch at first.
And you could go the offense, defensive replacement route, too. I think Mancini may be on the back burner there. Actually, I don't think Mancini's an option for Crane. Crane turned that mutual option down so fast. 1185, that is not racism. It's closer to stereotyping, but not racism. Give me a break. Everything bad word racism. We're just having some fun, 1185. Jeez. You don't have to be so serious. Relax. It's Thanksgiving week. We're having a good time on the Killer Bees. 8559, are we there as a franchise that people would think of signing a budget-friendly two-year deal to chase a World Series title? Yeah, I think that we are.
I brought that up a few weeks ago that, look, I think you've turned the corner into telling everybody what a really upstanding, solid, baseball upper echelon type franchise you have in Houston, and that winning the second World Series and the sixth straight American League Championship Series and the World Series appearances and all the things, and the fact that you still have this roster intact with this young pitching staff, this bullpen, and all the guys in the lineup is very enticing to a lot of guys. We were just talking about this from a Verlander perspective. Two things you worry about, your money and being able to play the winners to say you won one. There's plenty of good players that have gotten a lot of money that haven't won one yet that are going, I'll go to Houston for a couple of years, take a shot at a ring.
Although Crane doesn't seem to be unwilling not to give you a couple extra million to sign a short-term deal. Rafael Montero. Uh-huh. BH saying Tyler White is the first baseman for the Astros. 3-4-0-3. Don't want Bellinger. But that being said, it would be extremely satisfying if he would have to eat his words and then won a World Series here against the Dodgers after finding his stroke back. Bellinger and Alvarez's success would ruin the Dodgers. That's true. 448, hey, J&J.
That's us.
We're the Killer Bees. I don't think we've ever been referred to as J&J.
That was a previous...
J&J. He says, give the Hive a warning before score updates on the soccer game for the DVR peeps. Our bad.
That's fair.
I'm anti-spoiler. Our bad.
That's fair.
But we'll probably give some throughout. 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. Speaking of the Astros being that franchise where, you know, players come here for a two-year deal trying to chase a ring, what is the over-under for the Astros championships with this golden era, with this dynasty that the Astros are on? Over-under one. Do they hit the over? Do they go under? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Razor sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Timothy Weah has the USA up 1-0 as they go into stoppage time in the first half in Group B of the World Cup in Qatar. They're also defending the set pieces very nice so far for the U.S. So, USA, USA. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Sales guy Q just texted. He said that we love Q. Okay. He said Trent Dilfer just came on the Colin Cowherd show. Badly misspelled Colin Cowherd's name. But Trent Dilfer just came on the Colin Cowherd show and tried to coin the phrase, embrace the suck.
That
Trent Dilfer, man.
You just back the hell off, Trent Dilfer.
Look, if we're being honest, Trent Dilfer's always rode the coattails of other people. Like, it's always been that case. Whether it's now trying to ride our coattails of Embrace the Suck, whether it was his time at ESPN riding the coattails of all of his other great co-hosts, or when he won the Super Bowl and rode the coattails of the greatest defense in modern history.
I don't mean this as an insult, so I hope it doesn't come off that way. Embrace the Suck isn't even, like, naturally catchy. It's weird that he would...
Yeah, he's been listening to our show.
It's weird that he would go there.
And I told Q, and why are you listening to Cowherd and not us?
Great
and
point there.
Here's Q's answer, which, are we calling BS on this? I listen every day. I have both you and him on.
Oh, get out of here.
What?
Hear me out.
Can you listen to both things at once, though?
I was talking to somebody about this the other day.
I call BS.
As a millennial and somebody with no attention span, I occasionally will watch two different things, both with the sound on.
Okay, that's weird.
I do it, though.
You know what? I do, too.
You know what? That's why you guys hang out. But you know what? You guys are also the guys that would call people at 12:05 to go watch football that started at noon. Yeah.
I would absolutely not, and we'll get to that.
Here's okay. Here's the thing that whenever I'm known to watch multiple things at once. Like, a show on TV that maybe the wife wants to watch, that maybe is on Bravo, that maybe is a certain, you know, housewife or two, certain cities. I watch way too much Bravo. I'm not proud to admit it. Thank you.
God, I'm glad Thank I'm you. Evolved out of that.
Thank you, Branham wife. But a lot of times I'll watch a game on my computer while she does that.
Oh, I do.
Right?
That.
You know, be in the same room, you know, whatever. Spend quality time as she watches reality television and as I watch sports. So a lot of times I'll have a game on, but I won't have the volume on. Mm-hmm. The only time that I'll have volume on for both is on an NFL Sunday when the Texans aren't playing. If the Texans are playing, that gets volume control.
Yeah.
Red zone's on mute. But if it's like, say the Texans aren't playing at noon and there's like the main game on that I kind of want to watch, I'll have that one on with very, very quiet, and then I'll have red zone up a little bit higher in sound.
Oh,
that's the only time I do that.
If the Texans aren't playing, then I just flip back and forth between red zone on and the big games, or if there's sometimes there's multiple games I want to watch, and I'll flip back and forth between those two. The main thing for me would be like, Thursday night football is on the computer and I'm watching, say, Rockets, or there's something else more Houston-based that was generating my big TV's interest, and then I'll watch the Thursday night football on the computer. But I'm with you that I'll get the computer going and have the big screen going from time to time, but, I mean, listening to two things at the same time, like radio programs, that's different.
Yeah, doing two, I think he's lying. I think it's BS. It's sales guy Q lying to us to save face. 713-780-3776. Brendan has sales guy Q's side. It's because they're boys and they hang out, maybe.
Katie, we haven't hung out before.
Yeah. Katie says, full disclosure, we want to ask you this question, too. Let me tease this before I read this text. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. If we're the Vegas odds makers and we're saying that the Astros win one more championship, Are you taking, in this golden era, it's got to be this golden era, this dynasty we're currently living in, over under one more championship for the Astros, 713-780-ESPN. We'll take your thoughts on that, 713-780-3776. Katie, though, real fast, full disclosure, I'm for the Astros signing Contreras, yet would he be like our former first baseman, Chris Carter, playing first, or just re-sign Christian Vasquez? I think it's fair to wonder what Contreras would be there defensively. Has not played there a whole lot in his career. He's an average at best defensive catcher. He's probably a below average defensive left fielder. Can he play first base at a decent level? I think he's capable of doing it, but it would be a question that you would have if you're signing Wilson Contreras for that idea. You could also bring back Wilson Contreras and Yuli Gurriel, play the offense for defense late in games. You could also play Contreras a little bit in left field, start Yuli. You can also play Contreras a little bit at the catcher position when Maldonado needs a couple of days off. So it gives you position flexibility. As far as Vasquez versus Wilson Contreras, Vasquez is not the offensive player Wilson Contreras is. Like a 100-point difference in OPS.
It's probably going to be cheaper, though.
There's no doubt about that. There's not a qualifying offer either, which there is on Wilson Contreras. So Wilson Contreras, if you sign him, it's costing you a second-round draft pick and international money. So, you're right. It would be cheaper. You're not losing the draft pick. You're not losing international money. But Christian Vasquez versus Wilson Contreras from only an offensive perspective, only offense, Vasquez not in the same league as Wilson Contreras offensively. Now, total body of work. Vasquez is a better defender than Wilson Contreras, but Contreras gives you a little bit more position flexibility, can catch, can place a little bit of left, has played first base in his career. All right, Blankers, I want you to answer this question. Mm-hmm. One championship
over
for the Astros. Oh, over. That was a – you didn't even think about that. You're that confident golden, they win more than one?
No, but under one would be
zero.
You don't win one. Yeah, I think they're going to win at least one more. I think that in this golden era of Astros baseball, with as encouraged and confident as I am in the roster as it currently stands, without knowing what they're going to do going forward with Verlander, with free agency to hopefully replace and add a couple of bats, good pitching beats good hitting, and you start there. And you realize with the under team control, young stable of pitchers you have in the starting rotation, you have the best bullpen in baseball from a year ago coming back intact as Jim Crane wanted it and overpaid to get it. And then you start looking about that lineup and talking about the young guys that are still in the middle of that lineup. I believe that it is not out of the realm of possibilities they win multiples, but I feel very confident they're going to win one more.
The number, I think, is really difficult here. Brendan, full disclosure, Brendan said it at half a World Series, half a championship when we first entertained this conversation. I was like, everybody's going to say over there. You got to challenge it. You got to make it one at least. So we changed it to one.
I thought half would be hard for you guys. I didn't think it would be hard for the audience.
You thought one would be hard?
I did.
Half would be hard? You didn't think we thought the Astros would
win? You guys were
one?
Such scaredy cats through this postseason. I just thought you'd be scaredy cats out as a whole.
What? What? That was a shot.
Yeah. It was the truth.
Like, I disagree with that. I disagree with that thought, like the scaredy cat thought. Like, I am fearful because I respect the opponent and respect the randomness of a five-game series where, like, the Astros are capable of losing. My scaredy cat versus, like, relative to the average Joe Astro fan was that I am understanding that in the baseball playoffs, the best team does not always win. But I am very confident that the Astros had the best team and still have the best team going into next year.
Sure, but you spent so much of the postseason talking about how hard it is to win.
It is hard to win a World Series.
No, I know. But that's why I thought you would take the under on .5.
No, .5 was too low. Part of it, too, is what Blankers was saying. Like, so much of this core is here going forward. The pitching staff, like Verlander's free agent, but if they don't have Verlander, they have six other very good starters under club control for a while.
Yeah.
Yordan Alvarez under club control for a while. They robbed him with that contract. Kyle Tucker, 3 years, club control. Bregman, Altuve, 2 years, club control, and an owner that's willing to spend. So I'm taking
Jeremy Peña.
I'm with you. Like,
you didn't even mention Jeremy Peña.
Right,
I mean, you got the ALCS and World Series MVP. That wasn't even in that conversation. That tells you how good they are.
The push here is probably the play, but like since you have to go one side of it, I don't think that the Astros don't win another one. I think the Astros win at least another one. Mm-hmm. So with the logic of them winning, like you, at least another one, I have to take the over here. Is anybody on the under? 713-780-ESPN. Is the city of Houston?
I think if you were relying on an ace and you needed a Justin Verlander and you didn't have the just ridiculous riches of pitching that you have, it might be a story where you'd be a little bit more concerned, take the under because you're uncertain about your future of who's going to be there and who's going to be contributing. Instead, you know everybody, regardless of who's dangling in the wind, free agency and otherwise, who's going to be back. You know that there's enough guys that are going to be back under contract and are guaranteed to be an Astro that you go, this team is, like you said, good enough to compete right now to win another World Series next season.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to win one, like Brendan was saying, and using our scaredy cat as a bullet point to that. But I think that they win another. Poncho, Astros are going back-to-back. Dusty has already called his shot, so let it be written, so let it be done. Dusty did say that.
Dusty said
that before he won one.
He did.
Dusty said, I've always said that if I win one, I'm going to win two. So, when Dusty, we trusty. Dusty saying they win at least another one.
I'm fine with. I love his confidence from that regard, but I love the fact that the team is confident too, and that's a big factor in all of this as well. It's one thing to say Alex Bregman regained his form. It's another thing to say that Alex Bregman is back to being old Alex Bregman, because that swagger matters. That swagger gives you confidence, and sometimes takes a little bit of the tightness out of big time moments. And Bregman brings that to the table, and it's contagious. And that's part of when the Astros are at their peak. They are rolling. They are comfortable. They're free swinging in a good way. And they no moment is too big for them. And I think they're back to being where they were not a year ago. And with McCullers out and Bregman not healthy and otherwise, it had a massive negative effect on this team. Now this team feels like, bring on all comers. Whoever wants to take us on, we're good. We can take you out.
713-780-ESPN. Also on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Fuentes saying it's completely plausible that the Astros continue this run for another 5 years. They have a completely different team than when they started. It's almost like having back-to-back dynasties. Not a lot of holdover from the 17 roster to the 22 roster. Part of the continued sustained success is going to be that GM spot, and Jim Crane trying to get that GM spot and nail that GM spot. Over or under, one more Astro championship in this golden era. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Every Monday at 2 o'clock, it's our Mailbag Monday. You can ask the Killer Bees whatever you want to ask. You can ask us what our favorite Thanksgiving treat is. How do we like our turkey? You can ask us about the Astros, what we think of the Texans. You can ask us, how we're feeling about part-time Brendan over here. Whatever you want, our Mailbag Monday, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Killer Beast on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. Look, Apollo Men's Health realizes you're not trying to win the World Cup. You're not trying to win a gold medal. You're trying to win the day. And it gets more difficult as you get older and things come up in your life that actually change your fortunes on a daily basis. You lose energy. You don't think you can get it back again. From the boardroom to the weight room to the bedroom, you can have problems that you think there's nothing you can do about. There's plenty that can be done to help you in every sense of every problem you're going through. Just make an appointment with Apollo Men's Health, and they'll walk you through how they can help you too. It's real simple. Go to ApolloMH.com. And you're going to find out that there's a ton of services they offer, and some of them might be exactly what you're looking for. If that's the case, book an appointment. You'll find out most major insurance is accepted. They have discounts for military personnel and first responders. But then let the process go from there. Go in with an open mind. Answer their questions honestly. Tell them what you're trying to achieve. They're going to get you on a plan that works. They're going to find you the results that you're looking for. It's fantastic. For men and women, it starts with hormone therapy and all the different ways that they can administer it. And it's as simple as a B12 shot possibly for others, where they just need a little extra energy from week to week. I get a B12 shot on Fridays, and I'm telling you what, I've noticed a difference in how much energy I have on a daily basis. You could also get into things like, from a workout perspective, they have smooth things for your smoothie and fat burners. Everything from a full body composition analysis that you take every so often to actually chart your progress to the fact that you can recover quicker with HGH peptide therapy. Two locations to better serve you. Check them out today. Tell them I sent you by. They're good people doing great things. They're the good people at Apollo Men's Health.